Tevin Campbell, he was a mere teenager when he recorded that song, which, of course, the original author was Curtis Mayfield, and it became a classic with him, Keep On Pushing. And this is a title track from Campbell's 1994 album, which he titled A Tribute to Curtis Mayfield. I always feel really happy when I see artists paying tribute to others who paved the way and just render a different version of a song or a tune, but they do so with love, not with envy, not with hate, not with the idea of beating them at their own, music. It's a beautiful thing. So Tevin Campbell by now, of course, is a grown man, probably has 500 children by now, an old, experienced father by now. But I salute him for saluting Curtis Mayfield, who wrote and composed that song, Keep On Pushing. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. What are you going to free your mind of? What is your mind in need of to be freed? That's the question. What are you going to be talking about? So let me explain that. On Fridays, we dispense with the regular programming format, and we open up the program to become a kind of community gathering, a real community gathering, where people are free to express their opinions about something that is very important to them, and they introduce ideas or they take issue with a news story or trend, or they bring to our attention something that we haven't discussed. But the idea is that this is your forum. You, the listeners, you decide what you want to talk about. It's up to you. You choose your topic. And my job is to just make everything run smoothly as possible. And your job is to have an opinion. I don't want you yammering on the air. I want you using the time very, very beneficially to elucidate your thoughts and put it out there so that people could examine it and react to it, add to it, attack it even, but all, of course, very nicely. We don't beat each other up and tear each other to shreds. But we want you to begin the process of understanding that at any moment you have to function in perhaps one or two or three different worlds, and you have to be conversant with the way these worlds work so that you can be efficient in communicating your thoughts. All right? It's as simple as that. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. Harvey, you're number one as usual. You're on the air.
Hello, more than marvelous, Eutrice.
Hello, Harvey. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And I'm very grateful that you opened my eyes as to the importance of keeping one's neighborhood trash-free, especially with the amount of single-use throwaway plastic food containers, plastic cutlery, and plastic bottles that are seriously overloading our municipal trash bins and landfills. So today I'd like to focus on one of the most important reasons to take responsibility and make sure that my neighborhood is trash-free, and that important reason is rodents. As I previously mentioned, I really enjoy picking up the street trash, and with my trusty pickup stick, and I usually fill 5 or 6 paper shopping bags full of everything from cigarette butts to food, and that's the problem. The problem is that the half-finished bag of French fries, half-eaten hamburgers, chicken wing bones, half-empty containers of potato salad, candy, and the list goes on, that are left on the sidewalk or thrown into the street, which turns into easily accessed food for street rats and mice, which they thrive on. Street vermin carry many diseases, including bacteria and viruses, which can cause infections like meningitis, hantavirus, and salmonella, that are spread through the rodents' droppings, urine, and saliva. And one of the most historically dangerous rat-borne diseases is the bubonic plague, which occurs when fleas from rats bite human beings. Worldwide, rat and mice spread about 35 deadly diseases. Pet dogs will eat their discarded food and could become very sick as well. So it's really important to keep our neighborhoods as discarded food free as possible to keep the hungry rats in check. And Eutrice, I want to thank you once again for your inspiring words that got me started taking care of my neighbors by keeping my small community trash and rat food free. It's the healthy thing to do. Thank you, wonderful Eutrice.
Thank you, wonderful Harvey, for taking the lead on this. This is a very exciting. Every time you call and you give us a progress report, I'm very excited to hear about the new things that you're taking charge of and inspiring your neighbors as well to join in. This is your community. You all share it, and they have a vested interest in keeping it livable. Thank you. Wayne from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Patrice, happy Friday to you and all of your local loyal fans.
Thank you, Wayne. Happy Friday to you. What are you freeing your mind of today?
Okay, how we've been downplayed or led to be more and more notice as we go along. Starting with 9/11, as we approach the 20th anniversary, we keep hearing all these accolades for about the heroes and sheroes of 9/11 and those who got different cancers and whatnot. But we yet to know, have an official inquiry into the truth. We had an official pull the cover over the evidence, and everybody seemed to accept that as being, how I should say, as being acceptable. We here in New York saw three buildings come down after two planes. Thank goodness for the last one that happened in the evening. We got to know from the inquiry, the Truth Commission, that it was pulled, or that explosives were preset and they blew that one up. But since all came down together the same fashion, you could only assume, and all I'm doing is assuming, that this is how the other two came down. The Pentagon and Pennsylvania, they yet to find a plane that fit through a hole down in the Pentagon. And in Pennsylvania, they found a little crater, but no plane, nobody. And we still go along with these. We accept what the press did then, the work that the press did. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Today, we are facing a similar situation in that we face with a COVID threat, a so-called COVID threat. And rather than dig into the factual evidence that is there on the table, we accept what they tell us in the press. So we're scared as a people to dig for the facts. We accept what we're being told. And once again, we're being given the, how they call it, the shitty end of the stick to hold on to. But this is what I'm freeing my mind with. People get ready to celebrate tomorrow. Yes, so this is what is happening in your truth. And we're being fooled yet again. But I want to thank you. I mean, I've been listening, as always, to your show, whether I can get through or not. And totally, totally impressed. I keep hearing Maestro song, even at the top, you can't afford to stop improving. And I get that from you day after day. So thank you for being there, being who and what you are, and giving us this access.
Well, I thank you for the raft of compliments that you threw my way. I thank you very much for that. But let me tell you, it's a mutual admiration society. I love this program because I love the people who come to us all and have the courage to just open themselves up to us, and are becoming more and more accustomed to the idea of occupying intellectual space. That is a great victory that we all share and should celebrate. Thank you so much for your kind words today. 888-874-4888. G7 from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Peace and blessings, Goddess Eutrice. How are you?
I'm hanging in.
I think you're doing more than hanging in. Come on now.
Well, all right, you're
doing. Let me tell you something. You know what you're doing? You are blessing us so much. First of all, Harvey, thank you. I mean, for your words. I mean, to hear Harvey, all the research he's doing, and how you have inspired him, and the brother that I'm just calling right in front of. I mean, you have inspired our minds, and I just want to thank you. This is why I called you a goddess, right, in the mode of my art.
I'm promoted now to goddess?
To goddess. You know what? Because a goddess nurtures. A goddess nurtures, and a goddess helps us grow.
Don't say it.
No. That's what, let me tell you something. That's what you are. You're casting a spell, and you're helping us evolved. So, you know what's on my mind? Let me tell you something what's on my mind. Also, Goddess, this is what I want to do. I want to call on you. You know something? Biden, right? He said he's tired of playing around. I thought he was going to take out a belt and start whipping somebody. I was like, oh my goodness. In other words, we're going to be forced. All government workers, teachers, everybody's going to be forced to take a vaccine. And I'm telling myself, well, this felt like he wanted to give somebody some vaccine anyway. But I felt like, I mean, what an insult. It's almost like you have no rights. You cannot think. We're going to give you this vaccine. You know what I'm saying? Damn your free will. Damn. I mean, it's like, you know, you think of the Nazis. My wife was saying, well, you know, they want to put us, it's almost like the concentration camp. I said, well, at least one thing with the gas chamber, you know you were going. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? I said, honey, you knew you were going. But this way, they just want to keep on just, I mean, I'm so happy that there's so many court cases that's going to start opening up. So I just want to ask you, Goddess, I mean, what the hell? What is this? I mean, are we living like in a twilight zone?
What is it?
It's almost like
what do you make of Biden? I make of Biden that he is going through some serious psychological changes, and he can't tell anybody. Because he knows what he's facing, and they can't risk frightening the population. And so they're trying to manage it as if this is a manageable situation, but it isn't. It is out of control. And on top of that, the idea that people seem insubordinate. This has never really confronted a president before. That the people seem so stubborn and insubordinate. He should just have to get in front of a microphone and say, well, this is what you're going to do, and it's done. But people are fighting and fighting back at him. He's not accustomed to that.
But the fact that 60 or 70% of the people have already done it. That's the scary part too, that we don't even know what the heck the future, they have no idea. And some of them do have an idea of what the future holds. How now Tesla's coming back with the woman's reproductive systems now, and so many different things that people now, like, you know, earlier listening to Gary know about in West Virginia, how 25% of the people that were dying with the new Delta variant, right, were the ones that were fully you know, vaccinated. I mean, it's like, I mean, if that's not scary enough, I mean, it's like they're marching us to our death. So I just pray for the universe. I pray that we can just strengthen our immune system and keep our thoughts, you know, positiveness. But let me just say something. I did have the corona, right? Listen, I don't know what I had, right? But I know that when people said they had the corona and they couldn't smell and all that, right? When they went to the hospital, they were dying. So what I had and my wife had, I never had this before in my life. I couldn't smell for two or three months. I mean, I had whatever they were saying, the symptoms it were. So as far as the corona, I tell myself I had. But there was one moment where my body just broke down and I was just shaking. And what happens is that if my mind, right, would have just given in to what I was feeling, I would have been dead. But I told myself, I said, Victor, guess what? You're ready to die unless what? And I just called up into the universe, you know, so whatever spirituality, whatever you want to call upon at that moment, this is what I did. And what it did for those couple of seconds is stabilize my mind, because you know how your body feels like you're ready, I don't know, like you're frozen when your bones is ready to just snap. That's how I felt. So if I would have just went on with the fear, I would have died right then. But I just needed a couple of seconds, right, to just connect myself with strength. And that's what got me over. And that's why I'm still alive. But there is something there. But we're not, you know, so let's strengthen our immune system. Start eating right, positive thoughts, and keep on listening to you, because you bring so much joy and enforcement and strength and vibration. So thank you, Goddess.
Well, I'm feeding off of everybody's strengths, too. It's a two-way street. No question about it. I feel several years younger the minute this program starts, because I'm looking forward to hearing new ideas, new thoughts, and new concerns. And people never, ever disappoint me. Wonderful thing to meet up with people I've never seen, I've never known before, but we act like we know each other, and we do.
You know why? Because we're not afraid when you tell us to go do some homework. You see, this is why we love you. And we do it, and it makes everybody better, so thank you. But
you
Biner,
so
I mean, I thought you were going to take the belt out, right, and start whipping the kids. It's like, I'm tired of playing around. It's like... Thank you, my God.
Thank you, G7, for calling in and contributing to me and making me laugh, too. Thank you for that. That's a dose of good medicine right there. Leona Michigan, you're on the air at 888-874-4888 on this Free Your Mind Friday.
Greetings, Utrice, and greetings to your audience.
Thank you.
I'll be quick. I just wanted to follow up, because I think last Free Your Mind Friday, your caller, Patricia, expressed an interest in seeing if there was an interest in forming perhaps a support group or something online for folks who aren't ready to take this inoculation at this time or what have you. So I was just calling to express my interest in exploring that further. You know, for whatever it's worth. I don't know if our offer still stands or whatever, and I don't know what else to do except, you know.
I presume it does, because she hasn't called to say that it's off the table, so I assume it's still out there for people to take advantage of.
Okay. Well, I'm interested in exploring that, and, you know, that's it. That's why I was calling today.
Oh. Okay.
But I don't know what else
thank
to
you.
Do, though.
We have to figure out how to get you guys together, and I'll find a way. Find a way that could work. Thank you so much, Leona. Pat from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you, Miss Lee?
I'm okay. It's Utrice.
Okay, Miss Utrice.
Treats.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're fine.
Thank you.
I just want to say, the other day I was watching the news, and the early article, the story was about the Catholic schools opening up in New York and how they were going about the protocol for this COVID. And they showed you that the parents had to fill out a form in the morning, that the children had to be masked, and as they walked to the school, they had to be hand sanitized. And apparently that is the same protocol for the public school in New York City. So I'm sitting here. I happen to live in the Crown Heights community. Actually, I live on the same block as 770. So with that say, I see the school children here going to the various different schools, the boys' schools and the girls' schools. And I'm, you know, I'm looking at these children. I didn't see not one of them masked. I don't see the news with an article about the protocol that's in place for those particular schools. And I'm sitting here saying, okay, every other school system has something in place and it's mandated, okay? Yes. You don't see not one of those mandates in place for this particular community on the schools. And, you know, I had a little thought in the back of my mind for a while that maybe Mr. Cuomo, maybe it had nothing really to do with the sexual harassment cases is the reason why he's out. Maybe it had to do with what's good for the goose is also good for the gander. And he probably was more or less, it's going to be across the board. But, you know, with that said, people who don't want to abide by the goose and the gander rule says, well, you got to go. Now, the new governor.
But before you go on, let me just caution you here. You're talking as if we know exactly what you're talking about, but you're talking in code. So you're going to have to break it down.
Okay. I'm talking in code. Well, let me just say this. The exemption rules for the religious has been somewhat challenged. And it's like with this COVID thing, they have scrutinized religious exemption. However, here in New York City and in New York State, there is an exception to the rule. And that's what I'm speaking on. There's an exception to the rule on the Jewish community, mainly the ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities. They have several of them. Here that I live in, the Crown Heights community, they have one particular set. And what I was speaking on was that set. But throughout Brooklyn,
the Hasidic,
the Hasidic
community.
Yes.
Is that the community you're talking about?
Yes. And okay. I'm saying that because you could clearly see, you know, your eyes are not lying. You know, like I said, I live right here. I live on the same block. I see the school children of all ages, the girls, the boys, the older ones, the younger ones. They don't wear no mask going in or out of those schools. The teachers don't wear masks in or out of the schools. They just don't.
Yes, but why is it bothering you so?
Well, because of the goose and the gander rule. The goose and the gander rule, where you have 1.5 million public school children who are going to be forced to wear masks, and their parents are fighting this, but it looks like they're on the losing edge. And like I just said, the Catholic schools, they too had to put something in place for this COVID protocol. But yet there's a whole community where their school children within the same New York City, in the same New York State, who apparently are not mandated to put in any things in place. And the goose, the good for the goose and gander rule, the tale of the two cities. The tale of the two states.
Now, is it possible that what you are talking about and what is bothering you is that one community apparently has commanded of the government that the government obey its rules, and your community can't even get that far?
That could be it. That could be exactly what it is. That could be exactly what it is.
Okay.
So what is the issue?
So now let's recast the issue. If that could be exactly what it is, what do you think needs to change in terms of your community's situation, how it situates itself with respect to these public health rules, as opposed to other communities that have taken an entirely different track and have no problem with it?
I don't think it's so much that the people may not necessarily don't have a problem with it, because I do know people who have a problem with it. It's just that they don't have the people in place that would stand and represent them in the way that they need to be represented, the way that particular community people are representing now.
You know what that means? They don't have the people in place.
We don't have the people in place. Exactly.
That's right.
Well, maybe, you know what? Maybe we should get Dub Hiking and represent us. I'm just joking.
Whatever you've got to do. The fact is, we tend to see a problem clearly, but up to a point.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, we get blurry-eyed. We can't see anymore. We can't see that clearly anymore. And it's still staring you in the face.
Exactly.
So the question is, are you ready as a community to do something about it?
I don't think as a whole we're not ready. I think that we have work to do.
So get to it.
There you go.
So we arrived at a conclusion. I'm happy already about that.
I am too.
We arrived at a conclusion. Now you got to get it done. If it's important to you to have equality and equanimity, and this is an example of inequality, then you've got to find a way as a community to address it. You can't just retreat into the shadows and you know, you're full of fire, but it's going nowhere. If you truly believe your children deserve your leadership on any particular thing, you have to fulfill that. You have to take that seriously. That is a mandate on you.
You know, you hit the nail on the head. There's a lot to be said, but you said the main thing. You know, if that's what I see, and I see it, then I guess I have the responsibility to put this forth out there so others can see and make sure that something is done about it.
Yes, this is a concern, not really just about you. This is about your children and other children in the community. This is about a community issue. So the community has to be corralled and brought to respond accordingly, like they respect their children and their grandchildren. You can't just be out there being angry by yourself. That doesn't solve anything.
True.
Okay. As I used to say, true that. True that.
True that.
Thanks so much for your call, but really translate it into action. Give it a shot.
Thank you.
I'll
do that. And I'll keep you abreast.
All right. Yes, please do. Thank you very much.
I will.
Gail from Brooklyn, you're on the air at 888-874-4888. It is Free Your Mind Friday on PRN. What do you want to free your mind of today?
She not only freed her mind,
She freed herself. She's gone.
No, hello?
Oh, hello? Are you there, Gail?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Okay. Hi, this is real quick. Good afternoon, everyone. Hi, Teresa. Hey. I'm just calling in to respond to Patricia's offer to perhaps start a support group for those of us who haven't taken that leap to take the shot. So I'm calling in to say I would be interested also, as I think Lenora or Leona had called in. I, too, would be interested in exploring having or putting together a support group.
Okay. I'm still trying to figure out how to get people together and in mm-hmm. touch with each other and to get it, you know, to help get it working.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I'll announce it once I figure out something. And
yeah,
of course,
I figured you will.
And talking with Patricia, she is the leader on this, mm-hmm. so she will instruct me as to mm-hmm. what to inform everybody to say.
Yes, I'll keep listening, and hopefully we'll get something off the ground.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Morocco Hampton, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Well, hi, Latrice. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm fine. I call my first time. I listen. I don't miss too many shows. But I called just to say that the traffic was backed up out here in Hampton, downtown Hampton. Excuse me. About maybe almost a mile away from Hampton Institute, Hampton University, excuse me. And I was wondering why I was backed up. So ate some lentils. And it was backed up because the vice president, Kamala Harris, was giving a talk.
Kamala Harris. It's Kamala.
Kamala. Yeah. Kamala Camel. I thought it was an A. Kamala.
No, it's K-A-M-A-L-A. Oh. Kamala.
Yeah. I thought I said Ma. M-A. Ma. Okay. I said the wrong word. All right. So, Kamala. Thank you, Patrice, for keeping me straight.
It's you're getting it all wrong today. It's you.
Oh, okay. Let me say, Utrecht. No.
Okay.
Utrecht. Is it ooh or you?
You. It's you.
You. Utrecht. Okay. Utrecht. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris was coming in because the traffic was backed up out here. I could see it from about a mile away, maybe. And see the traffic backed up right in front of the house. So, and she just left about, let's see. Maybe about 1:25 or so. Still, I was backed up again. So I said, why is it backed up again? Oh, that's right. She's over there. They had it on a local station, ABC station, that she was coming in around noontime. She must just be as backed up again now. Okay, so I guess they showed.
So this is a problem for you?
No, I'm going to hop on my bicycle and go down to New Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Company and come back about 20 miles round trip, do some exercise. That's all.
So what's the issue?
There's no issue. You said it's Free Your Mind Friday, so I'm calling on Free Your Mind Friday. Yeah,
you want to keep the call here. Because Kamala Harris is causing traffic to back up. Well, here's the thing. Yeah. She's not responsible for traffic backing up, because she does not personally direct traffic anywhere. She is the Vice President of the United States. There is a special detail, a special section that deals with her safety and getting her from point A to point B as quickly as possible, and minimizing threats. That causes backup of traffic for any major person in any administration. So this happens. So you just got to live with it.
I Patrice, my goddess, my whatever else high honors I can bestow on you. You deserve it all, believe me. Well, what you just told me, I had to say that before I say that. What you just told me, it's like, duh, you don't think I know that. Excuse me, saying it like that.
But a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't take into consideration. They take it personally.
That's right.
A vice president or president or some big time person in government causes, as people see it, causes a traffic jam. You know, it's like, come on, get out of the way. We have things to do. But this is how it's done. It's a necessary evil, so we have to live with it.
Yes, not a problem with me. I was a bike messenger when I graduated from college in New York back in the 70s, so I understand how to get around. no problem with me at all. I just wanted to report the news to anybody who didn't know it.
Thank you, Kamala.
And since, since was free on
you're
my
giving
Friday,
us a Kamala Cam kind of report.
Right. I have a lot of other stuff I could talk about it, but a lot of other callers call in, and they could do it a little bit better sometimes than I can. I can do it all right, too, but I don't want to mess up.
Well, I'm glad that you called in. And it provided a bit of relief, and we got to understand that, you know, this would happen from time to time. You'll have backups and traffic jams because dignitaries are somewhere in the vicinity, and automatically their safety and their traveling needs take precedence over everybody else.
Well, you should have seen it when Obama was here. When Obama was the first time he ran, he was over in Virginia Beach at the convention center about three times. I saw two of them. And then he was downtown at the New Shipyard. I got there too late. He came in here a lot, really a lot, that kind of thing. So this is just the first time I've seen her here. Bush was here back when he was president. He came over when Harvey, that's the president of Hampton Institute, Hampton University now, first came out here. So that was big backup back then. But this is, I haven't seen anything. I think somebody was here for one of the graduation ceremonies a couple of Junes ago, and that caused the coronavirus stopped all that for a while.
That's what happened. Yeah. Well, one thing I have to say to you is to get a battery for your alarm system.
Why?
It's been beeping since you've been talking.
It has.
There it goes again.
That's these smoke detectors, and I thought I took them out. I forgot one. I'll take that one out then. Antebellum house.
Right. Okay. Useful purpose. I always tell people when their smoke alarm needs a new battery. Thanks for calling in. And
thank you, Your Highness.
Thank you. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you chief. How are you?
Okay, Ed. How you doing?
Well, you know, me and my thumb hanging on, hanging in.
Hanging by your thumbs. You have some seriously strong thumbs, I'm telling you.
It takes a toll. Today, I'm really concerned about the president. I don't know whether it's him personally or someone is advising him, because the way that he personally and the government in general is handling this COVID-19 situation is causing me great distress. He took a real confrontational turn in his speech. I watched it in its entirety, and, I felt kind of offended personally, because I do believe this is a personal decision. There's been much confusion about the virus itself, the vaccines, from the CDC, from the World Health Organization, conflicting reports, lack of clarity. And for him to take a stance at this time and to actually play the guilt or self-recrimination card, I think it's a cop-out. Like I said, I don't know who's advising him. I don't know what stance he's trying to take. And to cause confrontation in a time of great distress. What we need to do is to have an honest discussion about what this virus is doing, what its variants possibly can do. We need to lay out the science and stop treating science as religion and start treating science as science and accept objective stances and hash everything out on the table. The scientific method involves questioning, creating a hypothesis, experimentation, and then result. And we're not getting that. And everybody's waving the flag, oh, trust the science. But if you're not acting scientifically, how can I trust your science? There's been too much conjecture. And this government has a track record of lying to its people to obtain a goal. You're trusting big pharma. You're trusting big government. You're being asked to trust big pharma and big government with something that is still, what I put to everyone, is not a vaccine. It's a genetic therapy. It is doing something to your body's processes. It's underwriting your DNA. It's using retroviral RNA. And we don't know what the effects are. And we're getting too much conflicting information, and no one is sitting down and trying to pull out what's really going on. They might be right, they might be wrong, but I don't think this emotional tripe that he's trying to pull is sufficient at this time, especially from someone who, quote unquote, wants to be considered a leader.
Have you figured out yet that Joe Biden is stubbornness incarnate?
Well, without question, but I mean, it's not logical. I mean,
is stubbornness logical? He's a stubborn man. And he creating a stubbornness with authority. Just like Donald Trump had equated being a bully and a jerk with authority. Like right now, what does Trump want to do? He wants to fight Biden. I mean, you think about it. Which normal person who has been president of the United States wants a boxing match with the current president? Is this normal? Is this sensible? Is this sane? Joe Biden is pressed down big time. And he's doubting his ability to stand up to it, as are people around him. So it sounds as if he has no cogent plan because everybody's rushing in, do this. No, you do that. No, you should do the other. It's a state of confusion. So we don't have harmony in his advisory council, whatever that council looks like. Number two, he's never been in this position before. He's never been in a position where he has to have answers that make sense, that are doable. He has never been in a situation like this. He's naked in front of the United States and in front of the world. He's got to at least carry the illusion that he knows what he's doing. Do you think he knows what he's doing?
Well, of course not. I mean, illusion aside, you wanted to be a leader. You wanted to run for president.
Yes.
It was one of your aspirations. So when you get there, you've got to be open, and you've got to have the ability to conduct yourself with intelligence. I mean, all of that speech was just emotional appeals, adoration. You're creating a bulwark where one is not necessary.
But that's what he's got. He's giving us what he's got. He doesn't have anything more than that.
Well, then that's sad. It's sad for this country because he ain't got much. I mean,
how many presidents have gone down the same road before him? They gave what they got. Ronald Reagan gave us what he had. You know, I just talked about the president, your great president from New York. He gave us what he got. And look what he had. He has nothing.
I understand. I mean, I totally agree with you, but I'm just saying at this stage of the game, we need to press upon our leadership to be more open, to be more logical than this.
What is he going to be more open about? He's as open as he is allowed to get right now. We don't know. We still don't know what this is. We have no idea if this is a cover for germ warfare, open germ war. We don't know what this is. They're calling it this, they're calling it that, they put another name on a new one that's coming along. We don't know.
Well, viruses, by nature of their existence, they mutate. They mutate constantly from the common cold virus to measles and to mumps. I mean, as they mutate certain things.
Yeah, but we don't know what this is. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea what this is. Start there.
Well,
we know what they say it is.
Yes.
Okay.
So
as not to scare the whole world, they're putting it in terms that we could kind our little puny minds, our little non-scientific minds might more readily accept, other than, is this germ warfare? Is it what it's going to look like? Has it started?
Well, I'm not that far afield with that aspect. I don't believe this is some type of
delivery. That's my point.
We don't know.
And Biden is in the middle of it, and he doesn't know.
Well, I mean, as far as if you're going to be in a leadership position, you've got to be able to present the facts with logic, without emotion, and have an open debate about it, and then allow people to come to their own decisions. And this is what they're not doing.
How are you going to allow that? How are you going to invite people who don't have a clue what is going on? Nobody has been honest and open and forthright with the people to let them know what's going on. We have no clue.
Well, that's my point.
All we have are the things we are told. And we have to do the best we can with what they gave us. We still don't know what this is. And maybe that's what's annoying Biden. Biden is losing his memory. He can't remember from Monday to Tuesday. What is this called again? A virus. You know, we don't know.
His lack of mental acumen aside, I mean, we've got to. Well, me personally, I do as much research about it as I can. I've drawn some conclusions based on my research from my personal decision. And as it stands now, I'm still not comfortable in taking this gene therapy. And I've taken all means.
What are you researching? What are you researching right now?
Well, right now, I was looking into the reports as far as vaccine efficacy, and there's some reports about how the vaccine has been reported and how incidents behind the vaccine has been reported in the VAERS reports that deal with after people have taken the vaccine. How many people have died initially? The reports were started in April and they've run up to August. And I've been looking at that. There are other aspects. I mean, you've got to look around. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of disinformation. But there's a lot of credible information. And you've got to take the time to look around.
I'll tell you where I am. You seem to have a calculated angle. You kind of know where you want to go with this. Good for you. I am still at ground zero, if you don't mind me coining that phrase at this time. I don't know what this is. And I am not placing any bets that anything that we have been told so far is the answer.
Well,
if you accept that this government or the series of governments has lied, just blatantly lied on big viruses and on small viruses. And we have had those direct experiences. Why aren't they lying now? Why should we take the position that they're telling us to just now?
Well,
we don't know.
Well, that's my point exactly. That's why you've got to educate yourself. You've got to take information from all sources, and then in the light of all that information, try to make your analysis as best you can and come up with a decision that's personal for you. But what I'm saying is that when they take...
Talking about total confusion. And what we have to do is come up with our own heads with what do we think are plausible theories for what is going on right now. Don't tell anybody so that people won't accuse you of spreading rumors. But you should have some kind of thoughts. Is it A or is it B? Is it C? Whatever it is, you keep it to yourself and you observe and you study. We have as far as I'm concerned, we have no real explanation from the government as to what the heck is going on. We have none. We told about variants and we told about, this is a virus. And what will kill the virus and blah, 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 blah. When you boil it down, it seems a little too simplistic, if you don't mind me saying so, for the level of explanation we should be getting by now as to what is happening and why is it happening now. Who are the major players here? In what ways have we already begun to pay the price? We have a president who right now doesn't seem to be altogether together. We don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't want to start breeding crazy theories here. I'm just saying, play it as it lays. Right now, it is anybody's guess as to what is going on. We have to wait a bit longer to see what is really going on. We don't know. And that should be our position. We don't know what's going on. We know what they want us to do. We know what they want us to believe. But we really have no clue. Scientifically based clue as to what is going on.
Well, there are some facts about virology that are holding true with this virus, even though it's got its deviant forms. But what I'm saying is that as far as I agree with you, we can't clearly know what's going on because there could be plans inside of plans and machinations and several rabbit holes you can go down. But I'm just saying, be aware because we're being painted into a corner. They're using the private sector. Employers with more than 100 people asking for vaccine mandates, going to courts. The children are being forced to take vaccines in certain states. And, there's no real resistance to this. So I'm just saying, guys, be aware of that.
Because we don't. No. And in the absence of any sure knowledge about any of this, people are left to come up with their own theories that make sense to them. It may not be the explanation for what is going on. We have no choice but to tough it out and just be alert. Nothing so far is making sense to me. Nothing is so far making sense.
Well, nothing is being presented that makes sense. You've got conjecture and opposing viewpoints and opposing suggestions from the same organization. One month, the World Health Organization says one thing. Another month, the World Health Organization says something else. This person, that person. Everyone's getting up and making statements and making predictions, and then they're not coming to fruition or they're changing. I mean, it's an ever evolving landscape.
And yes, I'm and just you saying, get that kind of thing. You get an ever evolving landscape when something major is happening, but nobody wants to tell us, and nobody wants to tell us because there will be an incredible fallout behind the expedition. So all we have to do so far is to eat well, sleep well, and be very alert about what's going on out there. But don't accept anything yet, not yet, as the last word on this. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. I thank you all for calling and contributing. And it is a wonderful thing to create a sense of family on the air. People would say this can't happen, but it's happened and continues to happen. And we're all so fortunate for that. Stay close to your people over the weekend. Enjoy the company of people who bring good things into your life, and stay strong until Monday. Bye-bye.